All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Brandon is on the road today doing district meetings. So I will be filling in for him today. So welcome to our monthly MCO call. We're kicking off here with Iowa Total Care. So we'll start with seeing who we have on with us from Iowa Total Care.
Hi, Julie. This is Jeannie Larson. How are you?
I'm good, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm really happy that the sun is shining because I hear we're going to be getting some rain for the next week or so, starting on Friday or so. So enjoying the sunny weather.
Amen. And we do need the rain.
That is true. Correct.
Do you have other folks to expect on with you today?
Yes, I will have Tony Wietrich with me and also Hillary. She will be joining here shortly.
Okay.
And then at 11 o'clock, we will be joined by Justin Schieffer, who is our liaison for our CareBridge folks. Justin is works for Iowa Total Care, but he is our liaison for CareBridge and EVV. So get your questions ready for 11 o'clock when Justin joins us.
Excellent. Is Tony or Hillary on now?
Laura.
Laura?
Hillary is trying to log in at this point.
Okay, we'll give it a minute here. We had a very short agenda.
Sorry, go ahead.
We had a very short agenda for you folks this morning. So.
All right. Well, I know on the agenda was the alert for the coordination of benefits that we redistributed earlier this week. And I know that Hillary is going to speak to that and any questions that we may have regarding that.
Perfect.
So we'll just, I'm going to actually go out to our website and bring it up so I can look at it as she speaks to it.
Okay.
So I see that we didn't have any questions other than the coordination of benefits alert that we had, correct?
That's correct. Although I did have one question related to EVV with the AL and RCF providers that I will bring up that came in yesterday.
Yeah. And Justin will be here at 11, so we will take the hope. Well, and if we don't last till 11 o'clock, Julie, I will take that question back to Justin, and we'll get you an answer on that. So Hillary is on with us now. So Hillary, welcome.
Welcome, Hillary. Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Brandon's on the road doing some meetings today, so I'm filling in. We'll go ahead and kick this off like we always do and turn it over to Iowa Total Care for any updates since we have met last.
And that update was going to be exactly what's on the agenda today, Julie, clarification on recruitment projects. So we could jump right into that if you'd like.
Perfect. That'd be great.
All right. So Hillary, do you want to speak to the clarification on recruitment projects and how we made that update?
Yes, sure. I know that for most of you, you should be on TPL exceptions, and there's been with home health some updates where we've added you into the exceptions and removed you already from those COB projects. But all of the COB projects were put on hold because we received some bad data that was loaded into our system that had about a 50% error rate related to whether or not different members had third-party insurance. And so we have a third party validating all of our TPL data, and we want to bump that up against the recoveries prior to actually releasing those for recovery. So we have an ETA on getting the files of next week, but then they have to get loaded into the system, which I do not have an ETA on quite yet. So we're still waiting on that information from our corporate partners. But for the most part, it shouldn't impact the claims that you all are submitting for nursing facility and home health care.
So there's nothing, if a member has received a recoupment letter, is there anything they need to do? Do they need to start the process?
I always recommend following the dispute process on the letter, because when you do that, it actually puts the project on hold. If you don't dispute it, and you send it just to your PR rep, and of course you can let them know as well, but if you just send it to your PR rep and we don't get to it in time, it's possible that that claim will recoup before we receive that information that it shouldn't have. So the dispute process actually puts the project on hold until we can review the disputes. So I think that that actually stops the project from moving forward. But in the case of the COB projects, because they are on hold and we're going back and re-reviewing that information, and we do have some disputes already kind of holding those projects up, I think we're just waiting for the update, and then we'll do another possible alert. Jeannie, I don't know if that's been discussed yet, but alert to let everybody know if they're moving forward or when they're moving forward.
I have not heard that, Hillary, but I know that the alert itself indicated that we would have additional information forthcoming.
Right. And I'm seeing in the chat that someone is having the denials for TPL on their April claims for a nursing home facility. Can you indicate what revenue codes or procedure codes you're billing on the claim for those that you're seeing those L6 denials on, if you have that information? I just want to make sure we have everything covered in our exceptions list so that it bypasses that and we also pull it back from the project. Okay. So that's just normal room and board. I do know that revenue code is included in both our commercial and and Medicare exceptions list. So if you have claim examples, and yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Just double checking. If you have claim examples and can send those over either through the association or directly to your PR rep so we can take a look at what's happening on those, that would be great.
Thanks for that. If you send any claims to Brandon, please be sure there's no identifying health information on those. I'm worried for several home health agencies, because with Iowa Medicaid, they would deny our claims right away, so we knew they had another insurance. Iowa Whole Care did not let us know this over the past year, so if they really do have another insurance, it's too late to bill that other insurance prior to billing Iowa Total Care, so we will not get paid for any of those claims. That could be hundreds of thousands of dollars for some agencies.
Yes, and I think we've been talking about that internally, how to deal with that. For the most part, unless they're homebound, a lot of times the other insurance won't cover it anyway. But we are still discussing that, and we'll have to get back to you on that. But we are aware that that could be an issue and have begun discussing that as well.
Yeah, because that would have timed out billing on another insurance, so that would definitely be problematic.
Yep. Yeah, I will have to get back to you on the outcome of our discussions, but we are discussing that because we are aware that it's too late to bill some of those other insurers.
And when you have an update on that, if you could share that with Brandon, we can get that out to our folks as well.
Okay. Yep, we can definitely do that. As soon as we come to some resolution on it, we can share that with you guys.
Thank you so much. The first person on the claim said they will come up with a list of examples.
Perfect. Thank you.
So the only item on the list today was the discussion of provider alerts regarding the recruitment projects on coordination of benefits. So we did not have a lot of pre-submitted questions. So we are through that piece. It looks like in the chat, we have numerous old homemaker and hospice room and board claims that were overpaid. Some going back to January of 2020. We have sent these to our PR, but they have not had any response. Who can help with that?
Julie, I couldn't hear that question. It bobbled when I, could you repeat the question?
Absolutely. It says that we've had numerous old homemaker and hospice room and board claims that were overpaid. Oh, now it skipped on me. Hold on. I got to scroll up.
Oh, sorry.
That were overpaid, some going back to January of 2020. We have sent these to our PR person, but have not had any response. Who can help with these?
Okay, have they actually not had a response, or has it not been enough time for us to respond? Because generally it takes 30 days for us to have that research and response to them. So could I get a clarification on that?
Yeah, Kristen, if you could either unmute or put in the chat how long it's been since that was sent over. Next question, what about the issue with physical? What about the issue of physical therapy denying for home health agencies?
Yes, this we did fix in our claim system, and those claims are in the middle of reprocessing right now. So you should start seeing payments on those early next week.
So the provider, okay. The provider does not need to do anything different.
Correct. That was an error on our end, with mainly the add-on codes. So not the revenue code itself, but the code that indicates the service or whatever that we had to add into the or take the denial code off of. So we did fix that, and we are reprocessing those claims. So you don't need to do anything on your end. And you should start seeing payments on those starting next week and then into the following weeks, like over the various check runs.
Thank you, Hillary.
You're welcome.
If we are billing a rev code on the LUPA fee schedule for skilled visits, can we use different CPT codes for morning and night visits? We are not contracted for the CPT codes, but do carry authorization for both CPT codes.
So in the claim system, we base the payment on the revenue code itself, not the add-on codes that you add on per your authorization. I do know that UM tracks different things through those additional CPT codes, so we may have to take this one back to them. But as far as claims payment, it doesn't make a difference whether you even have the CPT code on the claim or not. But if you do get an authorization with that CPT code and the revenue code, you do need to bill that on the claim, and it just has to match that authorization.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
While we are waiting for any other questions to come in through the chat, I just want to give a brief update on assisted living and RCF folks and EBV. So Brandon and I have been having some meetings with DHS and CareBridge, and both representatives, both MCO groups have a representative that have been attending those meetings, and we've had a couple of providers on the calls with us. We at the association have a different interpretation than the state does regarding who should be carved in or out of EVV. The AL and RCF settings are very different than an in-home visit, and there's been some FAQs from CMS regarding that. And then CMS had a presentation they gave to somebody along the lines of that. Who was carved in and carved out. So we are currently still sitting with the 7-1 implementation date of ALs and RCFs coming on board for those four codes. We know that it is problematic in the way that visits are done in those settings. We have asked the state of Iowa to go back to CMS and seek clarification, which they have currently done, and we are waiting for a response back. When we know more on CMS's response back to the state of Iowa, we will push that out. We have also reached out to our national partner, the National Association, and also sat on a call last Thursday with 60 other folks across the country. And we have yet to find a state who is implementing this in their AL and RCF settings. I did receive a list of folks from CareBridge of who they said was currently using the platform successfully. I did reach out to all of our members that were on that list, and none of them are currently billing through the platform. Some have tried early on, late last year, before we got the date pushed back, and were not successful. We clearly understand that this is a problem in the way that you guys deliver care in those settings. So we are working diligently to seek clarification. And as soon as we know more on where that's heading, we will push that out. With that being said, we know that it's on hold right now, currently through 7-1, but providers are still getting denial, even though they're not having to submit through the billing platform at this time for the AL and the RCF folks. The payments are incredibly slow, and they're again, denying and not processing for our AL folks. We are just now in April seeing February payment for those codes, even though they don't have to use the platform. And so we did have that question that came in yesterday, if folks could talk about why the extremely slow payment process when they don't have to use the platform at this time.
So Julie, this is Jeannie, and forgive me for my confusion. So is this just something that you're reading to your association that you're sharing, or is that directed towards Iowa Total Care?
The question, I was just giving information on where the healthcare association is with the AL and RCF providers.
Okay.
In the system. But the last piece of it was a question for Iowa Total Care, and that is for AL and RCF providers, they're getting denials on those codes, even though they don't have to submit to the platform at this point. It's pushed back to 7-1 as it sits today. Yes. And providers are just now in April, got paid in April for February services. So providers are just wondering why this is so slow when they don't even have, they're not even in the system yet.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. We do now have Justin Schieffer on our call. And from my understanding, I didn't understand that our payments were delayed. So Justin, do you want a question to clarify and take it from here?
Yeah, I guess with that one, I would just wonder, is that an ITC issue? There shouldn't be anything that would hold it up. We have excluded the assisted living facilities and RCFs from like our claims area from requiring them to go through CareBridge. So that like they shouldn't be being denied for that. So I guess if that's something that's happening with ITC, If you could just let us know if it's specific ALFs or just so we can like look into it more.
And I can reach out to the provider and ask, but that has definitely been a long, tedious process for him. Do you have the 4 codes that you could put in, Justin, for the EBV codes that are currently need to be billed?
Yeah. It's S5125.
Are you not in the?
I mean, I can type it in. I was going to try to find the most recent informational letter. And that would have a link into all that information that might be the most helpful. While I'm looking that up real quick, I did, if I can have a second, just want to ask for some feedback about scheduling. And I know for assisted living facilities, the scheduling piece seems to be a barrier. And so what we were trying to look at is how can we kind of work to compromise, using ABV in assisted living facilities and also make it something that's workable. And so what we want to try to do is to utilize a similar feature to how independent CDAX providers and CCO employees use the scheduling feature. And that's more of a like an ad hoc, where basically the person who actually does the service would just check in and out of the service, and there wouldn't necessarily be any like pre-scheduling, which I think the issue was in the current system, the agency would schedule, however, maybe that staff that they initially scheduled for wouldn't be able to be that person who would actually go do it. And this would eliminate that problem by allowing the caregiver who's actually doing the thing at the time to just sign in and out at the time. So just wanted to get some feedback on that.
So this is Julie with the Healthcare Association. I will tell you that the scheduling piece is a barrier because of the way they provide care in those facilities. So it would definitely need to be a total reverse of what home health uses it for, where in home health, the caregiver is assigned, and when they log in, the patient pulls up, and it would be a reverse of that, where the caregiver would sign in and pick the client, resident, and then chart what they did. But the time limits that are currently set for the ALRCF folks is also problematic because it needs to be 8 minutes or more in the system. And actually, I've had some providers doing 8 minutes and still can't get the system to pick it up, that needing to be 10 minutes or more. And that's not how care is delivered, especially on a med pass in one of those settings. So the time limit's a problem as well.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not understanding the time limit thing, because CareBridge uses the rounding rules. And so throughout the day, it'll add up all the minutes for CDAC for a day, add up all the minutes and divide to get your number of whole minutes or whole units. And then depending how many minutes are left for that day, if there's 7 minutes left after you do your rounding and all that, then yeah, that's going to round down as I would say it
that's
should.
The rounding. Well, we've had issues here and there with rounding. The problem is they can't pull up a new resident until 8 minutes has passed. The system will not let them move on to a new person. So they may go in room 101 and do their med pass and watch the person take their pills. They go next door to room 102. And if it hasn't been 8 minutes, you can't pull up the next person for room 102.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We have to look into that, because I'm not sure that's how it is working. But again, if we go back to the scheduling piece, what I was talking about with that is basically what you were saying, and that the person doing the service would check in at the time they did the service and check out when they're done. And so that would mean there would be no pre-scheduling a certain staff member. And so that piece would be gone. And it would be a matter of doing things pretty similarly to how they're being done now, with the person who would need to do the service at the time they need to do the service would still have to use EVV to check in and out. But it wouldn't be a pre-scheduled person to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't currently work that way, but that is some of the questions that we have put out to the team of folks that we have been meeting regularly with.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm asking is that's what we were looking to do and wanted the feedback on if you felt that would work.
There's other, we had about 8 items. That was one of the 8 that would need to change from the current way the platform works today in order for it to work within this system of ALNRC.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of those 8 were in the training, in the different CareBridge trainings, and a lot of it did kind of work as expected. I think the biggest barrier was the scheduling piece. And so we've been discussing this amongst Amerigroup and IME, and this was kind of a solution that we came up with. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that can even put in the chat if they feel like this would kind of meet those needs to be able to take away that scheduling piece. I'm just looking for feedback on if at least that specific thing for scheduling, if we feel that that would kind of meet the need.
So Julie, this is Jeannie. I don't think that we're going to find resolution on this issue today, but if anybody could help Justin out by putting their name in the chat, if that would be something that they would be able to do. What I think possibly what we need to do is Justin's going to obviously do some additional research on this, and what we can do is reach out to Brandon, maybe to, if we need a focus group or something like that. Justin, does that sound good?
I mean, we can let Brandon know this too, as far as we're kind of running out of time for 7-1. And so I guess that's why I was just looking for a little bit of feedback today on what we thought, so that if hey, this is a good solution, we could start moving forward. We are kind of running out of time before 7-1. So yeah, we would need to kind of get moving on that stuff sooner than later.
Okay. So is there anyone that is on the call today that can help Justin out due to time restraints?
And I think it may be that we need to have a meeting with our focused folks that have been on the last meetings, Brandon and I and our two providers and the normal group. Maybe we need to see if we can set that up either Thursday or Friday this week. I don't know if DHS and Lisa Cook are available or not, but we could certainly look at trying to get that group pulled together here by the end of the week.
Okay.
All right.
We did have someone in the chat say, good afternoon. Is there a contact I can get with on Iowa MCO's Beacon Health is new to IHCA and taking over new ownership of 10 facilities in Iowa? Any help would be appreciated. So, Maria, I'm not sure exactly what questions you need answered might be, who they could give you a name and email address.
Could we get a little bit more information on what's needed? I'm not sure. I'm struggling.
Beth? And Justin did put in the chat the link for those four codes for you there at the.
All right. So I guess the best advice I would have at this point, Julie, would be for them to reach out to the provider relations specialist to share what information or what they, how we can help them or get them assigned to the right area of expertise.
And my guess is if they have 10 facilities, they're probably across Iowa, that would give them different reps, would it not?
It would. So we follow the domicile rule. The domicile rule is one in which if they have a billing and they have a practice location and they use one of those locations to bill out of for all of them, then the county in which that facility resides would be their provider relations specialist. If they have locations throughout Iowa and they bill independently, then they would contact the specific rep in that county to work with.
Perfect. And if Maria, you have questions, let's see, going forward, reach out to Brandon and we can get you in touch with the right person. He's got all the names and numbers. So there's also a map on Iowa Total Care's website that gives names and numbers of territories.
Yeah, Tony just provided that in the chat, Julie.
Oh, perfect.
Thanks. Thanks, Tony.
Tony and I were on the same wavelength.
Yes.
But Brandon and I are always available too for questions. So feel free to reach out to us as well. Okay, I do not have any further questions in the chat, so we'll go ahead and end this one here at 11:02, and I'm going to end this one, and I will rejoin for the next call at 11:30. So I want to thank Iowa Total Care, Jeannie and Hillary, Tony, Justin, Laura for being on with us today, and as always, everybody stay safe out there and have a great rest of your week. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you.